I want to look at John chapter 20. I've entitled the talk of the sermon, Jesus is Here. And more than anything else, each of us needs to have that encounter with our Lord Jesus. And during this period between the resurrection and the ascension, over 500 people had a life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus. And John chapter 20 and verses 19 to 23 describes one of these encounters. It was evening. The disciples were disorganized. Judas was dead. Thomas was missing. Peter was humiliated. All were distraught. They were hiding in fear. And the doors were shut and locked. And they needed that word of assurance. They needed to hear something that would hold up crumbling confidence. A student was asked to summarize all the gospel in a few words. Responding, he said this: in the Bible, it gets dark, then it gets very dark, and then Jesus showed up. Firstly, from the passage, he came to them and brought peace. Verse 19, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." How often God's people, like the disciples, find themselves locked behind closed doors, fearful and ineffective, living on the wrong side of the resurrection. The problems are so vast, and the talk about Jesus seems so futile. What can these disciples do but to hide in the building, discussing how desperate the situation is? The disciples were hiding in fear. They were afraid of the Jewish authorities because Pilate handed Jesus over to be crucified. They were afraid and guilty because they had deserted Jesus in the hour of need, and Mary had claimed that she had seen Jesus. And there were many other reports too, that Jesus had appeared to other people. They were afraid because they left everything to follow Jesus, and the world seemed to be in ruins. They were afraid because they were accused of stealing the body of Jesus. They were confused and bewildered. He came to them. The locked doors could keep the Jews out and imprison the disciples, but it couldn't stop Jesus coming to them. The one thing you can never do is shut Jesus out of your life. You may cut yourself off from others, but Jesus can step right in and meet with you in your time of need, and nothing can separate you from God's amazing love. You don't need to be afraid of a Lord who comes unexpectedly, because his first word to them was the traditional greeting, "Peace be with you." Shalom, the familiar Hebrew greeting. It means more than an absence from stress, which sometimes tends to be our understanding of peace. In the Old Testament context, shalom basically means well-being in its fullness, the fullest sense of the God's blessing and the blessing as for New Testament Christians of the kingdom of God. But Jesus' peace also helps us with our current circumstances. When we are worried about something, Jesus steps through the locked door of the stubborn situations and says, here, let me help you with that. He encourages us to cast our worries upon him, for he cares for us. And the last thing Jesus wanted to see his disciples was hiding behind locked doors. And this is the last thing he wants us to see with us. What doors are we hiding behind in our anxiety today? Is it our past experiences, the truth about our attitudes that need to change, the opinions, the judgments and criticisms of others, or the uncertainty about our future? What we need to do is to unlock the door of our heart and to invite him in and surrender those concerns to him and allow the peace of God just to flood into our lives. Secondly, from the passage, he brings assurance with him. He brings assurance with him. Verse 20. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. He showed them his wounded hands and his side, and allowed them to discover that it was indeed their master and that he wasn't a ghost. And Jesus said, come, look, I want to give you my peace. So look at my wounds. And Jesus wanted to convince them that he was not a hallucination. He was the Jesus who had died and who had conquered death and who is alive forevermore. You see, no one else walked around with holes through their hands and feet because no one else survived the crucifixion. He showed them his hands and feet, saying, look, I really did die, and I am the living Lord. To a group dejected and miserable after their bereavement, Jesus brought joy. To a group demotivated and coming to terms with their failure, Jesus brought purpose. To a group of disciples huddled together in fear, Jesus brought peace. And he comes to us today offering these same things in grace: joy, purpose, and peace. And he reassures us too. A man goes on holiday to the Holy Land with his wife and mother-in-law. The mother dies, unfortunately, and they go to the undertaker, who explains that he can ship the body home and it will cost £5,000, whereas he can bury her in the Holy Land for £500. The man says, we will ship her home. The undertaker asks, are you sure? That's an awful big expense, and we can do a very nice burial here. The man says, look, 2,000 years ago, they buried a person here, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and I just cannot take that chance. The certainty that we have a risen and a glorious and a victorious Lord. Thirdly, he gave them his compassion. He gave them his commission. Verse 21. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And when Jesus saw that the disciples, that their response, they turned from fear to joy, he commissioned them in verse 21. And the commission was the task of mission to take his place in the world. And he says this, as the Father sent me, so I am now sending you. In other words, get that furniture away from the door. Remove the key and the chain from the lock and slide back those bolts. Open the door and go out into the world. I don't want you to huddle in here, even if you have peace. Go and be involved. Be bold and not frightened. Jesus was sent into the world where he could be misunderstood, where he could be hurt and rejected. And the Father God wants to send you and me into that same world where we can get hurt and experience discouragement and hurt and suffering. And the apostles were commissioned to carry on Christ's work and not to begin a new one. He is in our midst as we go forwards with him into the world. The cost, as the Father has sent me, had meant for Jesus, costly sacrifice to the point of death and hell at Calvary. It could not mean anything less for the disciples. For Jesus said, for whoever serves me must take up his cross and follow me. But the reassurance and what he actually gives us and the resources of mission, his living presence. And if you remember in John chapter 17, what we call the Lord's Prayer, the consecrated prayer of Jesus, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Here is our all-embracing and our all-sufficient resource, that our mission is undergirded by the praying presence of the Lord Jesus himself. And as we scatter, you know, wherever God has placed us, wherever we live or wherever we work or whatever, we need to be salt and light for the Lord Jesus. And what a tremendous privilege and a great responsibility. It's humbling to realize that Jesus loves us as the Father loves him, and that we are in the Father just as he is. It is equally humbling to realize he has sent us into the world just as the Father sent him. See, God is more practical than any of us. He is always more concerned about our predicament and circumstances than we are. His words are timely and relevant. Jesus was the suffering servant. The scars are the marks that prove the crucified Jesus is the risen Lord. These wounds are also his credentials in ministering to all suffering humanity. They are the scars that the church, his body on earth, must bear if it is to continue the authentic ministry of Jesus. It must have given the disciples great joy to realize that despite their many failures, Jesus was entrusting them with his word and his work. The disciples were not to stay reveling in the safe joy of a locked room. They were sent out into the world. Fourthly and finally, he gave them his strength. And if you follow in the Bible, verse 22. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. We see the promise of the Holy Spirit here in verse 22. And John's readers were post-Pentecost and would have already been experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. But the extreme expression of the life in chapter 20 is, of course, the risen Christ. And we read, Jesus blew on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Why did he blow on them at this time? This was a preliminary sign which would tell them to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit later on the day of Pentecost, where he was blowing from heaven and the sound like a rushing wind. And J.B. Phillips says this: every time we say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit," we mean that we believe there is a living God and will enter into a human personality and change it. And the disciples cannot begin the mission of healing and proclaiming his word without the power and the energy of Jesus' risen life. Just let me illustrate it. A young man was apprenticed to a master artist who produced the most beautiful stained glass windows anywhere. The apprentice could not approach the master's genius, so he borrowed his master's tools, thinking that was the answer. After several weeks, the young man said to the teacher, "I'm not doing any better with your tools than I did with mine." The teacher replied, "So it's not the tools of the master you need, it's the spirit of the master." And daily, each one of us needs to be empowered and reinforced by God's Holy Spirit. Verse 22 reminds us of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, where both in the Hebrew and the Greek, the word for breath also means spirit. And the breath of God in the first creation meant physical life and that inner need for the presence of God. And through Jesus, the new creation means spiritual life. Here was the anticipation of the full giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And Jesus has assured us that he has come to give us life in all its fullness. He is here for us. What difference does meeting the risen Christ make to our lives today? Are we still hiding behind our own locked doors of fear, past experiences, and uncertainty for the future? Or are we prepared to invite the transforming power of the Holy Spirit into our lives to change us and to give us purpose and meaning as we serve our risen Lord? Amen.